As Timothy read for us this morning, Jesus calmed the sea. That's the Sea of Galilee. And I would like for us to take a little time this morning and glean some lessons from this story that occurred in the life of Jesus and his disciples. This is a map of the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus had been in Capernaum. And there a couple of things happened. We'll talk about them as we go throughout the lesson this morning. One thing that occurred, there was a centurion there, and his servant was ill, and he goes to Jesus asking Jesus to heal his servant. And Jesus says, go on, it's as you wish. And we also see that Peter's mother-in-law was healed. And so Jesus sees the great crowd, and he sends the disciples, as he gets into the boat, to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And we do not exactly know the location of the city to which they went, but it's somewhere on the eastern shore, and so they make this trip across the Sea of Galilee. Now, here is Rembrandt's rendering of this event, and we see that there's a rather small boat, and it's packed full of people, and that the Sea of Galilee here is rather boisterous, having gale force winds, the Bible tells us, and the waves would have been very high as a result of that. This is a full-scale model of a Galilean boat, and you can see that it is rather small. You could cram 13 people into this and probably have room for Jesus to be sleeping as he was resting, but it would not have a lot of extra room there for that. And here is the Sea of Galilee. After a storm had passed, and there was a rainbow. I don't know if you can see the rainbow in the picture or not. It's been reported by one eyewitness that the Sea of Galilee can have waves the size, the height of 12 feet. 12 feet. And so indeed a very large storm can come across very quickly upon the Sea of Galilee and create a very perilous situation as we see described here in our Bibles this morning. Four lessons I would like for us to learn, to glean as Jesus calmed the Sea of Galilee. The first one is that the apostles indeed were following after Jesus Christ, but yet their faith is not as strong as it should have been. In chapter 8 and verse 26, he said to them, this is Jesus to the apostles, why are you afraid, you men of little faith? In Mark's gospel, he records that Jesus asking this, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were following after Jesus Christ. They were committed as many others were not committed. We read just a little bit earlier, beginning in verse 18. Jesus saw the crowd here departing to the other side. Then a scribe, verse 19, came and said to him, Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus said to him, The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And apparently this turned off this man. Verse 21, another of the disciples said to him, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, Follow me and allow the dead to bury their own dead. And so we see that many were not willing to go to the extent the apostles were in following after Jesus Christ. They had been in Capernaum. This was the home of Peter where they stayed quite frequently. And Peter had left here his family after his mother-in-law was healed. And here they are in the Sea of Galilee. Certainly Peter was thinking with the other apostles, we're going to die tonight. And so the apostles had left family, left homes, left jobs, left their careers, here traveling with Jesus, no visible source of income, living off of the charity of others, and yet their faith was not what it should have been that night. Now the point is, we can be following after Jesus Christ. We can be His disciples. We can be coming to church. We could be doing many of the things we ought to do, and our faith is not as strong as it should be. And we want to learn this morning, be reminded this morning of these things, the things that we should be doing as His disciples. In Matthew chapter 8 and beginning in verse 5, Matthew chapter 8 and beginning in verse 5. Here, as we notice the things that had occurred here, Jesus was in Capernaum, and the centurion came to him, imploring him and saying, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, fearfully tormented." Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion said, "Lord, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, with soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and he does it." Now when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following, "Truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel." This would be rather insulting to the apostles, don't you think? And Jesus is saying, knowing the hearts of the apostles, your heart is not quite there yet. Not even to the point where this Gentile's was. The Gentile knew that Jesus simply could give the command and it would be so, but the apostles didn't know that yet. They did not understand that as they were out in the Sea of Galilee, and here were the waves, a gale force wind, and the waves had to be very, very high, did not realize that Jesus could give the order at any time and all of this would cease. That even if the ship was destroyed, all he had to do was give the word and they were all saved instantly to wherever they were going. And they were afraid. Their faith was not such to realize the great power Jesus possessed. And they had no reason at all to be worried that day. In chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, a leper was healed. And he came to Jesus, bowing down, verse 2, before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." And the Lord healed him. And the apostles had difficulty grasping this fact, that whatever Jesus wanted to occur would occur. If Jesus wanted the boat to sink, the boat was going to sink. If he wanted the wind and the waves to be calm, that they would be calm. Whatever Jesus desired was going to occur that night, and it was not his will that any of them perish. And they were worried about this. They were afraid because their faith was not where it ought to be. Certainly all of us need stronger faith, don't we? Certainly all of us need stronger faith. We want to be stronger. We want to trust in God more. We want to commit ourselves to God more than ever. And how do we do that? Well, let me remind you very quickly. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, the word of Christ. And so we need to be in our Bibles. And more so than just coming here to study the Bibles a little bit throughout the week, we need to be into the Word of God, and we need to be studying the Word of God, and we need to be meditating upon these. As David says, "Even upon my bed in the middle of the night, I'm meditating upon your Word." These things make us stronger each and every day. Romans 1:16, "Because the gospel is God's power unto salvation. Just not to believe and repent and confess Jesus and be baptized, but for every step of the way, every obstacle that comes our way, where is God's power unto us? It is His Word, it is the gospel we need to be into, the Word of God that performs its work in those who believe." So we all need to make sure we're doing that. And just not some cursory fashion. Learning the lessons of faith. Memorizing the stories as we go through the Old Testament, as we look into the New Testament and see even the chapter of faith, Hebrews chapter 11. And we need to know those stories and think about those stories and put ourselves in the situation and glean the lessons that we can glean and pray to God, who does not withhold anything from us. Praying in faith. As the apostles at one point asked Jesus to make their faith stronger. There's nothing wrong with that. Yes, indeed, it's through the Word of God, but we need God's help with that in many, many ways.
to make it a priority in our life, to clear our schedule so that we can do these things, to open our minds and open our hearts, to give us wisdom to understand these things and apply these things to our life, and to truly, truly, truly be convinced and to believe the things God has said so that we can walk in this life with full and complete confidence in the Lord. The apostles' faith was not quite what it should have been, although they were following him. And perhaps all of us too can say our faith is not quite what it ought to be, because all of us are struggling with something, aren't we? All of us have some obstacle in our road, that we are dealing with. We all have some problem we're trying to work through, whether it's something at school or something at home or something at work, or maybe it's something with our finances or our career, or just wondering which path to take in life. We all have questions. We all have obstacles. And it is this faith that will carry us through with concern, yes, but without anxiety. The faith that we should have. Well, the apostles were afraid. In verses 24 through 26, now there's nothing wrong with being afraid. Fear is a good thing. It's an emotion God has given us, and it has some great benefit for us, but there are some times when being afraid is not a good thing. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being covered with waves, but Jesus was asleep. As you know, I love to go boating. Well, it was my hobby. I hope it's my hobby again one day. And I remember being out on a lake smaller than the Sea of Galilee, and I remember a storm. Storms can come up, and the waves can really start to beat against the boat. I remember the first time, and I think it was the very first time we went out in any serious boat trip, and a storm came upon us because I wasn't smart enough to check the weather. And so I remember telling Beth, get the life jackets out, And I didn't know if we were going to make it or not. And I remember the waves hitting the boat. We weren't even going. And the waves are hitting the boat, and the water's coming up over the side. And I'm wondering if we're going to ever make it back to shore, or if we're just going to sink right then, and that's going to be the end of that. I just had no idea. And I can't remember, I can't imagine being out on a small boat as they were on, and the water is, just right there where you could pretty well touch it, and you didn't have a motor, so you couldn't get to where you needed to go very quickly. You just had to ride it out, and just the waves are beginning to come into the boat. One time we were out in the first boat that we had, and it was in the evening. We like to go out in the evening. You couldn't see where you were going on the water, but you could see the shoreline as it was lit up, and it was just absolutely beautiful, and the nice, cool evening in Central Florida. And I remember as we were speeding along one time, and we were hitting these waves, maybe a little bit rougher than it was some other times, we hit one, and it made a terrible noise. And when we got back, I was wondering if, I had damaged my boat or something. I thought I'd hit maybe even an alligator or something like that. It was just a crashing noise upon the boat. And it was just a wave. That's all that was. And if you can imagine here being the apostles, all of us, if we were on the Sea of Galilee in such a boat today, we would all be afraid. We would think for sure that we were goners, that we were dead. Peter perhaps thinking about just leaving his family in Capernaum, thinking about, well, that's the last time I ever saw them. And so there would be this noise, and there would be the wind, and there would be the water coming. We'd all be getting wet, and we'd all be drenched with water and these types of things, and we'd all be afraid, but there was a reason they shouldn't have been afraid. And that reason was Jesus. Now today, if we're out in a boat, and a situation like this, and water's coming into the boat and we're starting to sink, we better be afraid. But I want to talk about the storms of life. I want to talk about some of those things I just talked about. Whether it's our job and a bad situation is there, or someone is, as Pam told me yesterday, trying to get her fired, and these types of things. You know, those things to an extent are out of our control. We hand them over to the Lord, we give them to the Lord, and there's no need to be afraid. Do we like dealing with it? No. Is it going to be fun dealing with it? No. But we don't need to be afraid. And we need to muster the courage through faith to do the right things with this. So the boat was being covered with waves, and Jesus was asleep. Verse 25, "And they came to him and awoke him, saying, 'Save us, Lord, we are perishing.' And Jesus said to them, 'Why are you afraid, you men of little faith?' Then he got up and rebuked the winds and sea, and it became perfectly calm." Now that's what Jesus can do in our lives. Does it mean we still have to deal with the things at work and at school? Do we have to deal with these things? Yes. But Jesus gives us a calming peace in our lives. How so? It's through faith. Faith in God, faith in Jesus Christ. The promises that are made so that we entrust ourselves completely, 100%. Now, perhaps everyone here is short just a little bit of 100%. To deal with any sort of problem without being afraid, because this fear can creep into our lives very easily. And I know when it creeps into mine, I have to beat it back through faith in God. And I remind myself over and over and over, have faith, trust God, believe in God. And it's very difficult to beat that fear back and keep it where it ought to be, but we can all do it through faith. In Mark chapter 4, verse 38, a parallel account, here the apostles asked, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" That's where they were at. Said, "Jesus, don't you care that here we are perishing and we're going to be dead any moment now?" And they were afraid that they were going to be dead. And of course the answer to that is, yes, Jesus cared. Yes, Jesus knew what was going on, was cognizant of these things as God, the Son of God, and yes, He cared. We sing a song about that, don't we? He cared. He cares for us. He cares for our life. God knows what's going on. God is in control. Where is our faith to say, yes, I know God is aware of these things, that He knows these things, that He is going to take care of me? I've related to you before a story. I'll relate it to you again. And that is a great fear I used to have. From the time I was in college and we got married and Beth and I had children, I was afraid of someone breaking into the house. I was afraid. It used to be that I was such a light sleeper that the littlest thing would wake me up. I was ready to jump up and attack. Beth tells this story sometimes. I've never told you this one, but she might have told you. We had just gotten married. We were living out on a small farm, and we were living in a travel trailer, 40-foot travel trailer. We lived in that for 2 years. And she got up in the middle of the night and turned on a light, and there was a bug. Well, as most ladies would do, she screamed in the middle of the night. Well, I was asleep, but she tells a story about how quickly I got to my feet, and I not only ran down the little steps as it was a fifth wheel, but I don't know if she says I slipped or I jumped down, but I was ready to attack. See, I was afraid. And now we need to take care of these things. We need to lock our doors. We need to lock our windows and do those sort of things. But we don't need to be afraid. And I finally came to terms some years ago that even if someone came and did the worst thing in the world while we were asleep, I knew that I could get through it and deal with it. And so I don't wake up so easily anymore, although easier than Beth does. I don't wake up so easily anymore. Andrea came home the other night, and I was in bed, and I thought this would never happen to me. And so I'm in bed, and I'm asleep. And all of a sudden, I'm sort of starting to wake up a little bit. And she's there tapping me on my shoulder, and all of a sudden I open up my eyes, and there's Andrea. I said, "How'd you get in the house without me hearing you?" You know. And so I'm not so quick to wake up anymore. But it's because of this thing we're talking about today. We're talking about faith. It's not the faith that God will never let anybody come in and do anything. That's not the faith. The faith is, whatever happens, I'll be able to deal with, and my family will be able to deal with. That's the faith that we're talking about this morning. If you'll turn your Bibles over to Matthew chapter 14, remember the story of Peter walking on the water. Again, here is a storm that is coming up, and the apostles are trying to make it across the Sea of Galilee, and they see Jesus. They think that he is a ghost. And he says this. Jesus spoke to them, verse 27, saying, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." There is that afraid thing again. It's not that we're not going to have to deal with these things in life. It's not that life is going to be all rosy and we're not going to have any problems. But we don't need to be afraid of dealing with it, because we know that God is on our side and we're going to be victorious in all of these things. And you'll remember what happens. As Peter wants to go out and walk on the water with Jesus, and Jesus says, "Come," and Peter gets out of the boat and walks on the water and is walking toward Jesus. Now, that ought to do something for your faith, huh? Walking on the water. Now, verse 30, "But seeing the wind, he became frightened and beginning to sink, he cried out, 'Lord, save me.'" And, of course, Jesus did. I want you to notice that at first Peter had the faith. And then when he saw that the wind was coming up, and you know, if you're out on the sea, what the wind means waves, because that's what causes the waves. So he sees the wind come up, and he says, "Oh no, the waves are coming." And there goes his faith, and he begins to sink. So we can handle these things in life. We can handle the storms of life, and all of us go through them, and probably everyone here has something that they're dealing with right now in life. But we can handle it, and we can get through it, and we don't need to be afraid to deal with it, because the Lord is on our side. There is a song that I'm reminded of, number 89, and I don't know if we've sung this here since we've been here or not. I don't know, and I suspect that you know it. "Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous sea." That's what we're talking about this morning. "Unknown waves before me roll, hiding rock and treacherous shoal. Chart and compass came from thee, Jesus, Savior, pilot me." And that's what we're talking about. Jesus is the pilot. He's the one who's directing our life. He's the one that is pointing the way. He is the one leading us to the place we need to be. So we may not like it. We may not enjoy it. There may be things we have to deal with that aren't very pleasant, but we don't need to be afraid, because God is in control. Jesus is our pilot. Don't be afraid. Deal with it the best that you can. Do the best that you can. That's good enough. The Lord will be your pilot. Well, I also want you to notice that Jesus, on the other hand, was not afraid. Jesus was asleep. And tell you the truth, it would be pretty hard to sleep in a boat in a situation like this. Because the waves, it says here that there was a gale force wind. That means that the waves had to be very large. The Sea of Galilee is known for having large waves without a wind that is all that strong anyway, as the wind would shoot through the valleys of the mountains and just sweep across the sea. It doesn't take much of a wind to really get some waves going on the Sea of Galilee. Well, this was a gale force wind, one of the gospel writers says. And so these waves had to be really big, and the boat just had to be, you know, how they go, up and down, up and down, up and down, crashing against the waves. The waves crashing into the boat, making all of that noise and coming up over the side. It would be really hard to sleep in this situation anyway. But Jesus was sleeping. And I want you to notice that he was not afraid. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 23. When he got into the boat, Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. When he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. Behold, there rose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being covered with waves. But Jesus himself was asleep. Jesus was sleeping, and the apostles, in our vernacular, were freaking out. They were afraid. Well, it was because of their lack of faith. What does that say about Jesus? That tells me that Jesus had 100 complete percent faith in God. Jesus had faith. So what are you talking about? Hebrews chapter 2 and the first part of verse 13 says, "And again, I will put my trust in him." In other words, Jesus put his trust in his Father. That is faith. Jesus had faith. Also in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. And finally, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 21 and 23, 1 Peter 2, 21 and 23, as Peter is talking about Jesus and the things that he experienced leading up to and including his crucifixion, says that he kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. Did Jesus have faith? He had a bunch of it. To go through the things that he went through and experience all of those things, as people were insulting him and beating him and reviling him and pounding nails through his flesh, he had faith. Faith that it wasn't going to happen. No, it was going to happen. Faith that God wouldn't forsake him, in the sense of leaving him all alone and deserting him forever. Yes, did he forsake him for a moment so that those individuals could do those things? Yes. But as Peter says in 2 Peter 2, did not allow his soul to stay in Hades, but raised him from the dead. Jesus Christ had faith. And he had perfect faith, complete faith, and that is the faith that we need today. Let me suggest to you that this is an attitude of mind. Yes, faith cometh by hearing the word of God, but yet we must take that word and we must put it in our hearts to make it mean something, and then we have to be so convinced that it is the truth and that it is so that we do not doubt. It is a state of mind. And we all need this state of mind. We all need this attitude. We all need this paradigm of life. Total, complete trust in God and His Word. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time. Do you believe that God is going to exalt you? Personally, I do. If you're a faithful Christian, faithful unto death, you will be exalted, perhaps in this life and certainly in the next, casting all your anxiety. Anxiety is undue worldly care. Put it on God because God cares for you. This is faith. Totally entrusting in God. Put it on God. Let God deal with it. Know that God is going to deal with it. Sometimes I must admit that I don't want to put it on God because I'm afraid of what He's going to do with it. Maybe He's not going to do what I want Him to do. And that's the wrong attitude. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your heart and your mind so you don't have all of this distress in your life, so that you can deal with your problems and get through these things and be at peace because someone is guarding your heart. There is a soldier standing at your heart's door. That's the figure of speech here. There's a guard standing there with a spear, standing there with a machine gun at the door of your heart, guarding it, making sure that you're not overcome by all of these things, giving you the strength to have the peace that surpasses understanding that other people in the world can't have. Why? Because they don't have God. Because they've not put their trust in God. Because they've not cast their anxieties upon God. So they're trying to deal with it themselves. And they'll never make it. Never make it. Turn your Bibles with me over to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And here, the Apostle Paul, as he is talking about our reconciliation with God through Christ Jesus, and beginning in verse 6, he is telling us about what God will do for us today. And he says, beginning in verse 6, "For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Verse 9 says, "much more then." Paul is saying this before we read the rest of that scripture. God sent Jesus to die for you when you were a sinner, when you were lost in sin. He took your sins in His body upon the cross and suffered there the pain and agony of crucifixion on your behalf, because the wages of sin is death. And Paul is making this point. If God loved you so much to do that, now, since you're a Christian, much more then. See what he says. Verse 9. "Having now been justified by His blood..." Now you, having been justified by the blood of Jesus Christ, your sins being washed away, when you're baptized into Christ, Acts 22, 16, washed in the blood of the Lamb, Revelation chapter 7, verse 14, "we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." Now, he makes the contrast here. Jesus Christ died upon the cross for you, raised from the dead. You've now been justified by His blood. Now Jesus Christ is living in heaven. Much more now will you be saved by the life that He lives in heaven than you even were when you were saved from your sins. The point Paul is making: if Jesus loved you so much to send His Son to earth, to die on the cross to save you, He will never withhold anything that you need as a Christian. Much more than will He do for you. Much more even than giving His Son to die on the cross for you, much more now will He do for you as His child. He will never withhold anything from you that you need today, as Jesus Christ lives in heaven, our High Priest and our Lord and our King. Number 356 is another song I thought about. Number 356, and I think it talks about the faith we are discussing today. If Jesus goes with me. And this song, it says, it may be in the valley where countless dangers hide, it may be in the sunshine that I in peace abide, but this one thing I know, if it be dark or fair, if Jesus is with me, I'll go anywhere. Now, brethren, we just need the faith to know that Jesus is going with us. So what is there to fear? Verse 3. It is not mine to question the judgments of my Lord. It is but mine to follow the leadings of His word. But if to go or stay, or whether here or there, I'll be with my Savior content anywhere. And isn't that our other problem so much of the time? We're just not content with the lot in life the Lord has given to us. Now look at the chorus. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. 'Tis heaven to me, wherever I may be. If He is there, I count it my privilege His cross to bear. That's what we're talking about today. Have faith in Jesus. Have faith in God. Whatever your lot in life is, know that God is there. God is helping you. Whatever your questions in life are, know that Jesus is your pilot and He is guarding and directing and He is helping you throughout your way. And so just count it a privilege to be a Christian. Take up your cross and follow after Jesus Christ. Don't be discontent. Don't be sad. Don't be angry. Just be happy. Sing and be happy along your way. Well, the answer to all of our problems is Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 25, the disciples asked Jesus to save them. In verse 26, He did that. As Peter's walking upon the water in Matthew chapter 14, seeing the wind, he became frightened. He began to sink and he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus stretched out His hand and took hold of him. And imagine yourself there walking upon the water. You become afraid. Your faith is starting to sink. You start to sink. "Lord, save me." Jesus reaches out His hand and just grabs hold. Jesus is the answer. That's the big lesson today. Jesus is the answer. Many of us, all of us here, are dealing with problems. Jesus is the answer. Probably all of us are struggling through some sort of trial, maybe more, maybe less. Jesus is the answer. All of us here are trying to find our way through life. Jesus is the answer. Some of us have questions in life, maybe all of us. Where do I go now? What do I do now? What's going to be for me next? Jesus is the answer. And all of us need to be saved. Jesus is the answer. Lessons from Jesus calming the sea. As the apostles made their appeal to Jesus Christ, "Don't you care for us? Won't you save us?" Of course He did. He said, "Where's your faith?" Today, if we have faith in Jesus Christ, we can make our appeal to Him for salvation. And we do so in obedience to His word. As Peter tells us, "There is therefore an antitype which now saves us, namely baptism, not the washing away of the filth of the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience." That's how we make our appeal. If you've never made your appeal to God to be saved, I hope you'll think about that today. Believing that He is the Son of God, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as your Lord, and being baptized for the remission of your sins washed away, washed in the blood of the Lamb, and He will grab you out of the sinking waters of sin and save your soul. But let's all of us think about the lesson, because all of us need more faith. Let's think about the lesson. Let's be in the Word of God. Let's have the right attitude, paradigm of life, to never question God. To let Jesus be your pilot. Go wherever Jesus leads you. Sing and be happy today. If you're set to the gospel invitation, won't you step to the front as we stand and sing?